Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, this morning it is my privilege to bring the word. Can we give it up for our amazing team? They've done a phenomenal job. Thanks so much, guys. We have a special service because it is a special day today. If you have your Bibles, you can open your Bibles this morning to John 19, verse 30. John 19, verse 30. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. It is Friday. It is Friday in Jerusalem. A huge crowd has gathered at the place called Skull Hill. It was a well-traveled road that ran by because the Romans liked to hold their crucifixions where they could be seen by the public. This particular crucifixion started at 9 a.m. and to the Roman standards, everything proceeded absolutely normal, but only for 3 hours. Suddenly, at exactly 12 noon, the sky went black, pitch black. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. The darkness seemed to pulse and throb like something from a horror movie that we know today. But this was no movie. This was real time. For a whole long 3 hours, darkness covered the earth. And as quickly as the darkness came, it dissipated. It lifted. Normality returned to the earth. And the man in the middle of the three crosses, the one with the label, Jesus, King of the Jews, looked dead already. His body, it quivered uncontrollably, his chest heaving with every tortured breath that he took. In the distance, there was a soft sobbing that was heard in the crowd. But this was overpowered by the raucous laughter of soldiers as they gambled his clothes away, making jokes and futile remarks. The Roman soldiers knew as they looked at these three hanging on the crosses that it wouldn't take long and they wouldn't make sundown. But something happened. He shouted something. My God, why have you forsaken me?" Someone in the crowd shouted back to him. The Romans laughed and made fun of him. The moments passed and death drew near. Jesus, King of the Jews, whispers, "I thirst." Personally, he was physically drained. But what everyone didn't realize is that he had also drained the cup of the Father's wrath right to the dregs. The soldiers scurried around, put some sour vinegar on a sponge on the hyssop branch and lifted it to his lips. They moistened his lips and he took a shallow breath because every breath sent these excruciating pains of shock through his body. Because all he hung on was the sinews of his wrists. If you listened intently, you could actually hear the death rattle in his throat. his body a bloody mess, even giving a deformed appearance as all the sicknesses and disease and iniquities and anger and envy and hatred and every sin that is known to man had been gathered from all the ends of the earth and brought all onto and into his body. This man, King of the Jews, bore your full curse and mine. There's no debt left to pay. He has nothing more to give but one thing, his breath. The wine vinegar burns his broken lips as it touches it, but it moistens his mouth just enough to say one final thing. It was quick. It was just one word. And if you were not paying attention, you missed it in all the confusion. What was it that he said, the people around asked? One word. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. What does tetelestai mean? It is finished. Scriptures tell us he then bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Oh, so different to the norm. You see, those crucified normally would stretch up their heads to grasp for breath, their heads only dropping after death. But no, not this fellow Jesus. He did not lift his head to gasp. No, he bowed his head, Scripture says. He bowed it and gave up his spirit. Doesn't that sound so beautiful and so soft and so gentle and so peaceful? Yet the significance of this moment could easily pass us by because perhaps, this was his final act of submission to his Father's will, his obedience to death. Wow. Who is this man? Who is this man that to the very last his intentions were to fulfill his Father's wishes? It is finished. How many of the human race gets to a place where they can echo those words of finality? Unfortunately, not many. You see, the majority of humanity have lived or are living an unfinished life, leaving behind a trail of unfinished projects as well as unfinished dreams. Not many, if any, can proudly proclaim, I finished exactly and everything what I set out to do. But our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, is that man, the only person who could say with absolute and total truthfulness, I have finished everything I set out to do. It is finished. Tetelestai. Tetelestai comes from the verb teleho. Teleho meaning to finish, to complete, to conclude an operation, to bring to an end, to accomplish. This word tetelestai signifies a successful end to a particular course of action. It is a word you would use when you climbed the peak of Mount Everest. It is a word you would use when you handed in your final copy of your thesis. It's a word you would use when you crossed the finish line of your first 10-kilometer marathon. Tetelestai means more than just I survived. It means I did exactly what I set out to do. It speaks of an action which has been completed in the past, but with results continually into the present. What I mean by this, when Jesus cried out, it is finished, it meant it was finished in the past. It is still finished in the present, and it will remain finished in the future. You and I sit because of tetelestai. Today is Good Friday. Today is Good Friday 2024. And I have five things that I want to share this morning on what was finished. Five things. One hand, five fingers. Easy way to remember. One hand, five fingers. Five things he accomplished. One person. His name is Jesus. The first that he accomplished is all the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled. Some examples are he had been given vinegar to drink, which we read in Psalm 69, 21. In Zechariah 11, 20, 12, it says he had been sold for 30 pieces of silver. In Psalms 22, 16, his hands and feet had been pierced. In Zechariah 12, 10, his pierced would be sown. And there are so many more prophetic voices and prophetic examples, prophecies that have come out of the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. That's number one. Number two, the ceremonial law was abolished. The law that finds its completion and fulfillment in him. Therefore, all the Old Testament rules concerning animal sacrifices are set aside. All the rules and regulations concerning the priesthood were no longer needed. The ceremonial law was abolished. Number two. Number three, the sufferings ordained by God were now closed. You see, Jesus spoke many times throughout the New Testament through his work of that he was sent to do a great thing, but the hour of trouble was coming. All those things that God had ordained for him, none of them had happened by chance. God had ordained, but even now those sufferings had come to an end. Number three. What was accomplished? Number four, the price of sin was paid in full. You see, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That taking away of sin was being accomplished by the death of our Lord. It is finished. Number four, and our final one, number five. The one that can touch all the fingers. The work of man's redemption and salvation was now complete. God has been totally satisfied with the sacrifice of the Son. A fatal blow has been given to the power of Satan. Power and authority has been taken back from him. A fountain of grace has been opened and released to all mankind. And right now we sit under an open heaven which Jesus brought because tetelestai. It is finished. Five things. There's many more. These five things are the five things that we can remember accomplished by one person, his name, Jesus. Now, it's understood that this verb, tetelestai, was used in the first and second centuries in the sense of fulfilling or paying a debt. It is finished could then also be interpreted as a paid in full. Paid in full means that once the thing is paid for, you never have to pay for it again. It is finished, paid in full, complete, concluded, accomplished. That all took place nowhere else but on the cross. On the cross. See, here's a question, church. Here's a question, friends. Here's a question, family. What's keeping you from God today? What is keeping you from living that life of abundance that Jesus promised in John 10:10, where he said, I come to bring life and that in abundance? It's there. As bloody and as brutal as what this Friday is, we refer to it as a Good Friday because of why? On this day, God removed every barrier. He removed every wall. He removed every pitfall. He removed every blockage. He removed every excuse that man can think of. With the death of his son, everything has been paid in full. So what's keeping you from God today? Is it apathy? Is it busyness? Is it sin? You see, Isaiah 59 talks about sin keeping us away from God. Is it anger? Perhaps it's lust or a hardened heart of unbelief. Perhaps it's a thing called alcohol or drugs, uncontrollable anger. I don't know. Maybe it's cheating or stealing or adultery. Maybe it's pride or greed. I don't know. But what is it? Unrepentance, maybe? Unforgiveness, jealousy, rebellion? I don't know what it is, but what is keeping you away from embracing this that God has brought for all mankind? Let me tell you one thing. I'm telling you the best news you will ever hear. The best news you will ever hear. Doesn't matter what your sin is. Doesn't matter how many sins you have piled up in your life. Doesn't matter how guilty you think. Doesn't matter how dirty you may think you are. Doesn't matter what you've been doing this week, how bad your past has been. Doesn't matter how many skeletons rattle around in your closet. All of your sins have been stamped by God with one word, tetelestai. All of them. It is finished. It is totally and completely paid in full. Whatever that thing is that plagues your life, that keeps you from God, write over it. Write over it right now. Write over with a pen. Tetelestai, it has been paid in full. The work of salvation is now complete. It is finished. The debt was paid. The sacrifice was completed. The cross was the finished work of Jesus. There is no plan B. There is no plan. Listen to what I'm saying. There is no plan B. What Jesus accomplished in his death was so final, so complete, that it can never be repeated again. Not even by God. That's a thought to think of. That's how final it was. He did it. He gave it all. So what is keeping you from God? I have an answer for you. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is keeping you from God. Because God gives an abundant life with him free of charge. You don't have to do anything for it. You don't have to work for it. All you need to do is accept it. It was finished then. It is finished now. And to the glory of God, after the passing of million times million times millions of years, it will still be finished.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.